Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field. We are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, on episode 300 of Packer Transplants Live, we put training camp and the preseason in the rearview mirror and break down the Packers' initial 53-man roster. Right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Matthew Golden.
We got the bad. We got
Isaiah Simmons.
We got the ugly. We got
injuries, always with the injuries. You hate to see it. Although it does sound like there's some good news coming out of practice today, Corey. The Packers were back on the practice field just as we went live. Speaking of going live with Corey Banky. What's going on, Banky? How you doing? How was your offseason?
Ooh, it was good. It was good. it was very eventful. Got a new studio here across from Lambeau Field.
Let's
trying
go.
It out for the first time.
Looking good.
Window that, for everyone.
That shot is amazing, dude.
Definitely not a green screen.
Not a green screen.
Yeah. No, we're
absolutely
doing well.
Loving it.
You know, I'm ready for the season. I'm excited.
I'm ready for the season. I'm ready for another phenomenal Packers season with you, Corey Banky, here at Packer Transplants Live.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of transplants live, let's give a shout out to our sponsor, shall we? This episode of Packer Transplants is sponsored by Nicolet Law. You never plan on needing a lawyer, ever. But if you're ever in a car crash, suffer a slip and fall, or are injured in another kind of accident, you want someone in your corner who gets it. Nicolet Law helps people across the Midwest, and they fight hard for regular folks. Not big corporations, not insurance companies, just you. Calling a lawyer can feel intimidating, but Nicolet Law makes it simple. Their team takes on the stress, deals with the insurance companies, and fights for the compensation you deserve so you can focus on getting your life back. Injured, don't wait. Call 1-855-NICOLAY or visit NicoletLaw.com to get started. Do it, folks. There's also a link in the description of this video if you want to find out more. Banky, you ready for the hotness? You ready for the first hotness of the 2025 season? Let's do it.
I've seen this a million times.
Let's go. Time for the hotness. Well, you know, I just like that this got put on film in that final preseason game because, you know, you go to Radnitsky Field every day during training camp and you see this kid doing these things and it's amazing. But the Packers, of course, have very limited video availability during practice. So you got to tell people, you got to trust me, this kid's been looking incredible. And then finally, we got this Matthew Golden catch against the Seahawks. Let's take a look with Malik Willis stepping up. Throwing a dart, great adjustment from the rookie. Give the first down signal. That's right. Just a little one more time. Working inside of the corner. Great job locating the ball. Let's go. That, ladies and gentlemen, that's the hotness, and it's just the start when we're talking about Matthew Golden. He's been making plays every single day at practice. Good times, Corey Banky. Really good times.
I'm excited for it.
You should be, man. You absolutely should be. Before we get to the news, I know you're chomping at the bit, Corey, for some Packers news here. The most important news across the great state of Wisconsin is that Carry the G Cream Ale is back, baby. Let's go. Look at that. Come on now. That's right. We've got a new design. We're running the ball now instead of throwing it. Run the damn ball. I know Soder's a fan. And speaking of Carry the G, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you can have yourself some really lovely and cold Carry the G at our first ever kickoff party the night before the season starts against the Lions. Saturday, September 6th, starting at 7 p.m. at the D2 Sports Pub. It's right down the street from Lambeau Field on Armed Forces Drive. 7 o'clock, Corey and I will be hanging out, drinking some Carry the G with you fine folks, Packers fans from all over the world. Literally, I've already heard from people coming in from across the globe. And then a very special live performance by Motel Men at 9 p.m. Come on out, people. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. A lot of Carry the G, a lot of Packers fans. What more could you want? Going to be a good time.
I'm excited.
Let's get to some Packers news.
I'm excited to hang out. I'm excited to drink some beer right now. I'm waiting for my beer. I'm waiting for my Carry the G to the head to just go down a little bit before I start diving in.
Very good. I love it. I love that. I love that sound. That's a good sound. The opening of a Carry the G. Packers news. The first up, and probably the most important, hell, if we're being real here, Jordan Love is a full participant in practice. Matt LaFleur indicating that he'll be doing everything at practice today. And speaking of, and this is legit just live about 3 minutes ago from practice, reporters letting us know that there are only three guys not participating today in practice, and those are Nate Hobbs, Zane Anderson, and Savion Williams. I don't think any of that is really a surprise. And on top of that, some good news is that Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks are both back at practice, along with Elgton Jenkins and Aaron Banks. I know a lot of people were nervous about the receivers and the offensive line, the injuries, how severe, blah, blah, blah. That's the start, at least, of what should be, you know, the beginning of getting back to health. So that's good stuff. That's good stuff.
I like it. I think my mic was on my webcam, so I think
I didn't want to say anything live, but you sound better now. You sound more like you're on a mic.
Yeah, it's like I have like a million iPhones connected to this account, so if all of a sudden you hear something weird, it wasn't me.
It wasn't you. It just jumped of its own accord.
Oh, yeah.
Sticking on the news, we got Packers trading for Darian Kennard, the offensive lineman from the Philadelphia Eagles. I love that they gave up a 2027 sixth round pick. They're not a 2026 sixth round pick. No. We're going 2 years out here in the sixth round. That Packers selection has been given to the Eagles for one Darian Kennard, who has played tackle and guard, is clearly there to bolster the depth of their offensive line. Cause they certainly needed along the interior. There's no doubt about that. One guy who made a lot of headlines this offseason, and you were very intrigued to see what he might do in a green and gold uniform. Unfortunately, that answer was not too much, because Isaiah Simmons was released. I know I heard from a lot of people who were very excited about the prospects of his athleticism in Halfley's defense. Unfortunately, I think we saw on display there throughout the preseason what the two previous teams he was with also saw when they released him or traded him. It just doesn't seem to translate at the NFL level, which is unfortunate. You hate to see it.
Yeah. You think he'll get picked up by somebody?
Well, he wasn't today.
Yeah, I saw that.
But, I mean, he was not subject to waivers. He can sign with anybody, but he has not signed with anyone yet. I think he'll land somewhere as someone's depth piece that does end up helping a different team on special teams. I just think the Packers have younger players that they want to count on rather than a veteran who is a bit of a liability on defense. Speaking of defense, Nazir Stackhouse has kept the undrafted free agent streak alive at 21 years going strong, having an undrafted free agent on the roster heading into week one. That's pretty exciting. Are you all hearing the popping noise or the little, I don't know what that noise is. I'm hearing it in my headphones, but I'm just hoping it's not on program.
I don't hear anything. I hear you nice and clean.
Good. That's all. I'm just making sure. Mecole Hardman was released and signed back on the practice squad. So everyone who was despondent about the fact that Hardman got cut, well, guess what? He's back. He's on the practice squad, which probably means there's a decent chance they bring him up as a call-up to be a punt returner, because I know that was the number one question I got yesterday when the news got out that he had been cut. Who's going to return punts? Now there's a possibility that it's going to be Mecole Hardman. But we'll see. We'll see. We got a ways to go there. Also, because I know you're a big fan of practice squad news, Corey, neither of the third string quarterbacks are back. Both Air Canada and Sean Clifford are gone. So Clifford truthers, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know a couple of those.
Over. Yeah, you do. I know you do. So the Clifford era is over, and now the new third-string quarterback signing to the practice squad, per Bill Huber, is Clayton Tune, quarterback from Arizona, who was released a couple days ago and was not brought back on their practice squad and is now with the Green Bay Packers as quarterback number three. Clayton Tune, who, if I'm being honest, I really can't really get too excited about because I think he's had a number of years now to try and develop in the NFL, and I haven't really seen it, but the Packers must see something. So we'll see what happens there. And then finally, the Packers sign Nick Nyman, who's a linebacker that was with the Texans. Now he was released. Even though he signed a two-year deal for a decent amount of money, they released him at the final cutdown. And the Packers snatched him up. And they released Micah Robinson, who had made the 53, who will now have to go to the practice squad most likely. But Nyman should help them on teams. And that is, you know, no small feat when you're talking about a squad that was maybe counting on Isaiah Simmons to help on special teams, but now you've got Nick Nyman. And then, of course, Corey, I know you're very excited about the long snapper getting a three-year contract extension.
You're like the fifth person to tell me this. Like,
just because we know what a fan you are of specialists.
I mean, so, hey, it's good. Lock them in so you don't have to worry about it. You know what the greatest thing about specialists? Exactly. I don't want to worry about them.
Right.
You should never have to worry. It's like,
set it and forget it.
Yeah, I don't want to. So, yeah, that's great. A three-year deal. I never want to think about that again for 3 years. That's awesome.
I love it. So, yeah, I love it. And then finally, last bit of news. There you go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Once again, I believe this is the third year in a row.
Wow.
The Packers are the youngest team in the league coming out of final cutdowns. And look, I know people are sick of hearing about it. It's not an excuse. It is a fact. The fact is they are once again the youngest team. You can run with that and use that or ignore it however you want, but that is a fact. Youngest team in the league once again.
The best part about getting over all that practice squad stuff is that we never really have to talk about it again, so that's kind of nice.
Probably
like
not.
Maybe
you're right.
We're going to have like 10 practice squad announcements now, or maybe 15 in the next season.
Right.
This
live
season,
while
so.
We're here.
It's like we had to eat our breakfast. We had to eat our vegetables in our breakfast, and then now here we are.
Yep.
Oh,
no,
Lambo. You know what's weird is like sometimes I just miss Lambo. It's so weird.
When it's right across.
Like, I was literally looking at it, and I was like, oh, it looks so nice. Then I was like, oh, it's right there.
There it is.
Lambo.
Yeah, it does look dope. You want to talk about some offense? You want to talk about the Green Bay Packers on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah.
I love it. All eyes on the health of the wide receivers. I mean, what's so fascinating about this offseason and camp in particular is how little we got to see from guys like Jayden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, especially considering some of the struggles that these guys had, particularly holding on to the football last year. You really hoped you could see them hit the ground running, so to speak, this camp. But, you know, Jayden Reed missed a whole bunch of time. Dontavian Wicks, I think he maybe participated for like a week before that calf injury happened, and he's been on the shelf. The good thing, obviously, is they're both at practice today, so that's trending in the right direction. But man, it's going to be interesting to see how involved and sharp they are from the jump against Detroit, given how much time they've missed on the field with Jordan Love.
I mean, everybody's excited about Golden. I just don't want Golden to get injured early. That's just my wish right now.
Knock on all the wood. Yes.
That's just, you know what I mean? Because he gets so excited about wide receivers and running backs, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah, the nature of the game bangs them up.
But yeah, I mean, I think that Golden could just be hot out of the gate. Just the hottest thing you've seen since Sterling Sharp.
I tell you what, man, a month and a half ago, I would have cautioned your enthusiasm there. But having been in Green Bay for that stretch that I was and watching him day in and day out, the kid's legit as hell, man. And I'm right there with you. I don't know, okay, quantify how, like, quote, exciting he'll be or how productive he'll be. But, man, I tell you what, he's a legit receiver right out of the gate in a way we have not seen in Green Bay in quite some time. And it's clear how much Jordan Love already trusts him.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's like he's already
on task. because these other guys have been on the shelf.
It's like in previous training camps, even going back through Aaron Rodgers, you know, you get excited because your quarterback is so freaking good, right?
Right.
And like Aaron Rodgers could make literally any Alan Lazard.
He made
Aaron Rodgers made Aaron Rodgers made Jake Kumerow and Alan Lazard amazing. So the fact that like he's a number one pick, which you don't want to get too excited about because Devontae took him like 3 years. Let's be real.
No doubt.
But he's a number one pick, and Jordan is already keying on him like he did with Reed the last 2 years and kind of with Wicks. So, like, that's the thing. I just feel like they're on the same page, and he can
beat like
guys.
Feels like there's been chemistry kind of gained, like, pretty significantly and at a very kind of quick pace comparative to other kind of receivers coming up as even, like, rookies, second-round, third-round picks. It's like, man – this cat
and that's the thing, like
right out of the game.
Him and Tucker Kraft ascending at the same time, and
come
then just somebody.
Come
like the thing
now.
Is, we don't even, you know, you got Josh Jacobs, and you know you got so Tucker Kraft and Golden ascending this year, and then it's just anybody else. Can six
Finding
people give 40 yards per game, or you know, whatever, collectively almost?
No,
because it's like. It's not going to take much. That's what's kind of nice is we have three pretty nice pieces on the chessboard, to be honest.
No question about it.
Four, really, with Jordan, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. And keeping Jordan upright is going to be a major component to the success of the season. And to that end, a hard-fought battle at left tackle this training camp is really interesting given how much we saw Rashid Walker early, and then he got hurt, and then we saw Jordan Morgan for a good stretch, almost 2 weeks, and he looked really good.
Yeah.
And I know now they've got Walker back in the mix. Again, really wish someone at the pressers today would have asked about this, but I can't I didn't think I heard anybody ask about if they've declared who's going to be the starting left tackle. I'll tell you what though. Coming into camp, I probably would have been a little nervous if Jordan Morgan had been named the starting left tackle against Detroit, but after watching what he did over the course of the summer, I'm okay. I'm okay if he's at guard. I'm okay if he's at tackle. The kid had a really nice summer, no doubt about it.
I mean, he was the best thing about that first game. Everybody was so
right.
Everybody's panties were in a twist about that first game, and like,
and he looked good.
He was like the best thing about it. I remember the Patreon Eeyore happy hour where it was like that first game. It was like, oh, my God, here we go. Man, here we go again. And then I was like, guys, did anybody watch Jordan Morgan?
Yeah, right.
I thought there were nerds.
He was really good.
Oh, wait, my carry the G is my guys. My guys, why are you telling me my carry the G wasn't
gotta get that
properly?
Right. Get it. Please have the
label also
forward,
this
please.
Helmet, by the way, this helmet, Spencer Young. Who's the Packers fence? He made that for us, and we never use it on camera except for training camp this year and now in this show. So there you go.
Well, we used to use it when we did transplants live together in the same.
Oh
room.
Yeah, we had it on the table. That was nice.
But then someone
that
decided
nice.
To move to Green Bay.
That was nice. Well, would you rather have this shot or the studio shot with us two?
Probably that shot.
Yeah,
I got to admit. I got to admit.
I like this shot better if I'm not in it. I'm just going to be straight with everybody right now.
I mean, at least you're honest. I will say, though, you were asking about can someone, anyone else, step up, right, and become part of that rotation, become a weapon. Man, Luke Musgrave looks ready to become a weapon. Now, obviously, everything with Musgrave is
Nagler,
about availability, right?
Nagler.
What? You just asked, can someone else step up? I'm just gifting you someone else stepping up.
Here's my problem, and it's not with you. I'm not frustrated with you right now, but I'm frustrated with the Luke Musgrave situation because I feel like we've tried to surf this wave before and been disappointed.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean,
well, as I was
saying
before you interrupted me, the thing with Musgrave is always availability, right? Like, is he going to be available? Is he going to be able to play? Because I do think he's had easily his best stretch here the last kind of three, 4 weeks of camp, preseason, whatever. It's as good as he's ever looked. And he certainly looks the part. Now, he has to get called upon. He has to deliver when called upon. And he has to, A, stay on his feet, which we all know is a bit of a running gag, but also based in reality. And then he's just got to make it week to week, being available from game to game. because that just has not been his calling card up to this point.
Well, and to be honest, that's kind of the story a little bit of the offense for the 2024 Green Bay Packers last year.
Truly.
Who's available, who's we're going to use. We never got that chance to kind of run over people, and that's what I'm really excited about. I do think that, you know, I think we have a really good opportunity to surprise some people, even though no one is surprised by us, our offense being good, and they treat us like we're, you know, Super Bowl contenders. I'm not saying like we're gonna, you know, we're not gonna sneak into the first part of the season.
Right, but you know, they'll never suspect the Green Bay Packers.
They'll never suspect the Green Bay Packers offense is good. No one will ever think about that. But yeah, I don't know. There's this thing. The offense has been. I'm gonna be honest about this as I hold my. Oh, I got this. This is for little Nicolay.
What's up, Nicolay?
I want to believe in this offense so badly. I can't even explain to you how badly I want to believe. It's bad, and I feel like for the last decade, this offense has just teased the hell out of me. I feel like since 2014, we've just been teased.
There was one season in there, 2020 season. They were legit.
Oh, like, yeah, 2020.
A problem for opponents, right?
Yeah, and then we got ran over by the freaking Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. But that was
and it was the offense's fault. That was, by the way, the reason we didn't advance. Again, the offense.
Yeah.
Thanks, offense. Come on, appreciate it.
So, yeah, I'm with you, man. I want to get to the point where not only are there like a two or a three-headed monster on offense as far as the quote-unquote stars, right? But where there are so many contributors that you don't know, and they are set up that way, right? Because they haven't paid a big-time wide receiver. They haven't had to pay their big-time tight end, etc. It's like you don't know where to focus as a defensive coordinator. Now, you, i.e. Matt LaFleur, have to take advantage of that. You got to be able to spread the ball around and keep defensive coordinators guessing. Right, well, but that requires some of these guys stepping up and being a hell of a lot more consistent.
Well, and I do think the key things for me this year in the line, really, you know, the fact that we have a lot more wide receivers to pick from and the quality of wide receivers has gone up in 1 year.
Would agree.
Pretty much.
Yes.
But then just the fact that I do think Elton is a huge upgrade for us to
like at center.
Be an anchor.
Yes.
Yes. And if you look at the depth chart, I know, you know, we signed the guy, and I'm looking at the depth chart for the Packers right now. Rashid Walker's ahead of Jordan Morgan, but, you know, the Packers never, they lie on their depth chart all the time.
That's PR. That's just PR.
Yeah,
that's all
exactly.
It is.
But I do look at it a lot because it makes me feel smart. anyway, I do feel like, I think some of my feelings have some objectivity to them, but I need you to corroborate.
Okay.
But I do think we have upgraded our offensive line, regardless of it feels shaky. I do think we're going to know what our offensive line is sooner this year than we did last year, which I think is a great thing for the offense.
I will say what's interesting, and I think someone mentioned this in the chat a little bit ago, and I wholeheartedly agree. I won't be surprised if left tackle is a platoon, especially early out of the gate. Like if they're running Walker for a couple series and then they put Morgan out there for a couple series. They did it a couple years ago. It won't surprise me if, you know, Steno and Butkus and those guys are like, yep, we want both of these guys to get the experience and or get Morgan as much playing time as possible prior to next season.
That's a great point.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. And what sucks is I was talking about this with Justice a couple weeks ago. It wouldn't surprise I would hate this, but it wouldn't surprise me if they platooned Morgan at tackle and guard in one game. Like if he was running left tackle for two series and then moved over to right guard for two series. I don't want that. I'm not advocating for it. And I don't even know if it's on their radar to do, but it wouldn't surprise me.
He Soder says feeling smart is more important than being smart. Thanks, E. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Soder.
I agree with you, Nagler. I agree.
Can we clip that?
If we know
Tyler's not watching, please.
Come on, he's not watching. He's flying planes, bro. Flying planes now. He doesn't care about us. Trust me. I do think if we can figure out what we have at Jordan Morgan and he is a left tackle, kind of going back to this preseason, we have to find out. It's so critical to find out. So that really is the way forward, because once we know that we can rely on Elton at center, then it's really just building that left tackle position and our line solidified.
and we got the right tackle sorted out with Zach being paid. Like, we're good to go, man. Let's go.
Also, I'm really excited. I know everybody's like, oh, we overpaid, but I want to see Aaron Banks road grade some people.
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir.
That's what I'm like. I'm like, like, you
that's
know how
why
we
he was signed, right?
Yeah.
Like, we know he's been so-so.
I
want to
see that so badly.
I want to see him destroy somebody. I want to see him take some souls.
Man. Especially, like, you only have to give Josh Jacobs, like, a half of an inch. And so,
I mean, that's the thing. Think about Jacobs getting hit at or behind the line of scrimmage last year and having to make yards after contact from with behind his own line of scrimmage. Like, to your point, Corey, just give him an inch. Give him a little bit of daylight, and he gone. He gone.
Tyler is literally flying a plane and watching the show. He just came up on the chat. That's crazy. Go. I think that's against FAA regulations.
I think maybe, is he flying and watching, or is he
maybe he's flying a simulator.
Watching? Possibly the simulator. That's very good.
He's on the simulator. Chance. He's like, I'm just like, I'm going over Alaska right now. I'm going to Tokyo.
Nobody's
going to
die if I look at this
Nobody's
going to
die if I watch this show live. It's fine.
Oh, amazing. I told Tyler, I can't wait till he's like, flying those puddle jumpers between like Chicago and Appleton, and I'm gonna like
no, you know what's crazy?
Make sure I know when he's flying so I can get on one of his flights,
dude. You know what's crazy is he literally talked me into learning how to fly so that I can rent a plane and fly it from Green Bay to Washington Island like next summer.
Oh, dude,
he's,
Washington
not next
Island.
Summer. Okay, it's a little bit aggressive, but dude, right. How cool would it be to just be like, hey, and
plane.
Like, we're not talking about baller status. I'm not talking about buying a plane.
Right.
Like, you can literally rent a puddle jumper, right? And you're like, oh, let me rent this puddle jumper and take a couple people, and then we're gonna fly to Washington Island. He said if I devoted 4 months of my life, that I could potentially be a pilot.
I would 1,000,000,000% agree with that. I think you could absolutely do it. I think you have the 100% the like kind of
how
I don't
fun
know, the
would
way
that
your
be
your brain
though.
Works. You
I think that would be
out.
Fun.
Yeah.
Just like
dude,
roll
Washington
up to
Island's incredible. Have you been?
It
there?
Is. I was just there.
Oh
this
my
summer.
God! Oh, yeah. I love it so much. I
but they have an
I
airport,
boats,
but you, it's
but...
only for little planes.
Yes.
So you don't have to take the ferry. You just fly up there. You're like, oh, okay. Look at me, little 30-minute trip.
That's a great idea, dude. That's a great idea. I love it.
Tyler's not going to be my instructor, though. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Well, he's just going to be barely out of flight school himself. So,
dude,
yeah,
you know
I
what's crazy?
Not.
He told me about not to get on a tangent, which
I
were already on.
I were,
but
we're
apparently,
way late for that one.
Apparently, when you go to flight school, you do it for 1 year, and then you have to do another year where you train the next class. How crazy is that?
That's a little
you
nuts.
Learn it, and then you learn it some and more by teaching other people.
No, thanks. I'll take a boat.
Scary.
Thank you.
I'll take
love it.
A boat.
I'll be on the ferry. Thanks so much. We should talk about the Packers defense. We should talk about somebody. We should talk about your favorite defensive player, Corey Behnke.
Rashawn
We're
Gary.
Talking about Lucas Van Ness turning the corner in more ways than one. I mean, kid had a good summer, finally. Finally had a good summer.
He did.
We'll see if it translates, because that's the big million-billion-dollar question. If it does, holy cow, hold on to your hats, because watching Van Ness and Gary get after it will be fun, because you can't just chip Gary every single time like most teams did last year. But, man, I don't know how real it is. I want to believe. I saw some really fun stuff from him this summer, but, man, there's been plenty of summers where we've sat out there at Rainichke going, oh, wow, look at the defensive line, get after it. And then they get to the first game, and it's like they're completely stonewalled. You know,
wah, wah.
Precisely. So,
I mean,
here's hoping,
I think,
man.
Here's the thing. If he doesn't come up, we have made no moves in the edge position. Although
we stood pat and
we
hired
have
a new
some,
line
we have
coach.
Ascending players. We do have ascending players, not on defensive line necessarily. We have many ascending players, but in the linebacker positions, we got some really, really, and safety, we got some really, really good players. And we had, I think people might forget if they're listening to the show, and I know I'm probably the worst messenger to say this, but the improvement of the defense last year versus 2023 was significant.
Oh my gosh. Very much so. Hey, speaking of improvement, you know who the most improved player was throughout the summer comparative to last year? It was Tyron Hopper, the linebacker. Third round pick 2 years ago. This kid, the light switch flipped. It was night and day. He was always a physical guy. But, man, this year he was just flying around and making plays each and every day. There's no doubt that he's going to be involved. Like, I remember last year getting to, like, the second half of the season and people – usually on watch party, we're like, are we ever going to see Tyron Hopper? Like, what a waste of a third-round pick. Blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you, I think this kid's going to play this year, and I think people are going to see a really improved, not only player, but the defense playing as much three linebacker as they did last year. If you've got Hopper in there over McDuffie, I think we're starting to cook.
Yeah, but that's not your defensive draft crush, though, is it?
No, no, no.
I mean, sorry, your defensive training camp crush.
No, that would be Nazir Stackhouse.
Exactly.
I love me some Nazir Stackhouse.
I'm surprised there isn't a lower for Nazir Stackhouse right now.
I mean, we've mentioned him breaking the streak, or keeping the streak alive, sorry, regarding, you know, just making the squad. I think, you know, I've talked about it ad nauseum on Daily. I love him. I think he's going to be
Do you think he has the biggest
really
upside right now of the youth?
You mean through the entirety of the rookie class?
Just for this season. No, no. Yeah. For any youth we have that really haven't taken off.
I think he plays the most specific role, which should give him plenty of opportunities, right? Obviously, Matthew Golden's going to get all the headlines and get the, you know, clips that you see on social media, etc. But man, Nazir Stackhouse, I think he is a big key when they face certain types of offenses, namely offenses that want to button it up and run the football, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially
that's
in
not
the middle,
everybody.
Right?
Exactly.
That's not the thing we haven't had. Yeah, but that's the Eagles. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a lot of teams that are really good. Yeah,
the teams that want to pound the rock. And I think he's going to be a big component against those offenses. And there are certainly going to be weeks where he's a lot less involved because of the style of offense they're facing. But, yeah, man. And what's crazy is he's effective, but you can see he's pretty inconsistent. He's very much a rookie. But damn, man, the upside is undeniable. And the fact that he can be effective right out of the gate at what you're asking him to do while he's learning other aspects of the game, yeah, I'm excited. I know. I won't shut up about the kid because I really like him. I really like what he did this summer on the practice field. But, of course, the one area that everyone is nervous about and or asks me about or goes after the team about, and I understand it, is the cornerback group. And the fact that, you know, they cut Jair, you know, obviously you expect to go into that draft and maybe come out with at least a premier pick at the position. And the Packers obviously did not do that. I've talked about this on Daily. Corey, I know you probably are kind of in this wheelhouse as far as, you know, it's clear they like what they have on hand way more than the public and or media kind of rates them at. Like, if you're talking about Keyshawn Nixon, who you and I have talked about a lot on this year program about how he is so much better than the public perception.
Yeah, it's
him,
weird.
Which is wild.
It's weird.
I feel like that's all
cornerbacks, though. I really do. Like, anytime somebody is talking, anytime anybody is talking shit about a cornerback, I always question their credentials. And here's someone that has no credentials when it comes to questioning a quarterback right away. So it's not like I spend my nights questioning people's
credentials.
Breaking
down the tape, right.
As soon as they start talking about it, because what they're talking about is an emotional reaction to a video.
Giving up a play.
They don't even know if they're the ones that gave it up. They don't know anything about the play. They have no context. Cornerback is the ultimate context-less position.
Right.
You get all the blame, none of the reward, unless you pick six.
Unless you're Al Harris
in the playoffs, nobody remembers your name.
Yep. No, I think that's perfectly stated. And what's crazy to me, too, is like, if you were to actually watch the tape, he, especially when they moved him outside, he played really well down in and down out. Yes, every once in a while, he gets beat. Every corner does, you know? And to your point, I think it was on our Spotify comments, someone was like, I can't believe they're going to roll Valentine out there. He's a terrible tackler, which instantly lets me know that they, in their mind, are only replaying the one touchdown he gave up in that playoff game to Goddard in the flat, where Goddard stiff-armed him and blah, blah, blah. It's like, Valentine's a really physical corner. and is not afraid of contact and actually does a very good job of getting people on the ground. But it's like that one image.
But that's the thing,
sticks in people's mind.
It's just so crazy. It's like, and yes, I know I do this to Jarrett Bush in the NFC Championship game from 2007. Okay, gonna be real right here. I'm gonna do a little self-awareness.
At least you got your caveat out right away.
No, I'm just saying, like, I've done it myself, right? I have literally been like, Jarrett Bush did not. Now, to be fair, Jarrett Bush's cons are a long list.
It's a long list.
And his pros are a mid-size list.
Right. Although significant accomplishments on the pros.
There are accomplishments.
An interception in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yes, yeah. But we could have won a Super Bowl if he just fell on the ball. So, you know,
or
you got to wait.
But
my point here is not to harp on Jarrett Bush. But
20 years after the fact.
But I bring it up because these things can be emotional for us, right? We see them in a game, we blame the person for that thing, right?
Yep.
Much in the way where I just think that, the context of a cornerback, it's all of their play.
It's really difficult.
It's so hard because they're going, if they're good, 51% of the time they're going to win, not 70, not 80.
No. Right. Especially because the game is set up for them to lose.
Yeah, so like, if they're better than a coin flip, you actually are good.
Towards the offense, yes.
100%.
But like to that same point, Keyshawn Nixon, people remember him getting beat by Amon-Ra St. Brown for that touchdown in Lambeau. And it's, oh, look at he sucks, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that was a really great play design. They got him isolated, and yeah, he got beat. Guys get beat. He also had an interception in Detroit. Like,
well,
people don't
remember
that.
Wise, he doesn't fit in our prototype of a cornerback. I think
he's not a big, long-armed guy.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that goes against him for Packers fans because we have been kind of
we're used to that image,
to believe,
to that
like, oh, this is that type of physicality. This is that type of person.
Totally. Yeah.
So I think it's that, but he's so fast. And actually, I think he plays really well in this defense.
I agree.
I think he's taken to this defense like
perfect fit for him. Yes, totally. The vision, being eyes on the quarterback, matching when necessary, like, yes, I 100% agree with you. You can get all sorts of content around the defense and the offense and everything green and gold, and including everything surrounding the green and gold, in our weekly newsletter, the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. Next edition goes out tomorrow morning, each and every Thursday morning in the off season, each and every Thursday morning throughout the season, as well as each and every morning after every single game. Cheesehead TV Nation in your inbox with tons of Cheesehead TV content covering the Green Bay Packers 365. It's what we do. Make sure you subscribe. There's a link in this video in the description. Make sure you do it. And then the other thing you got to do is get ready for the return of that venerable series. Let's hit it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right! It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Speaking of series and venerable and,
oh dear,
I guess, returns,
you
ladies
like
and gentlemen,
the word
boys
venerable,
and girls.
That's like your favorite word, I feel like.
I just like it for that second.
I think that's ladies the only word that has been used in 300 episodes.
Every single episode. Although, I don't know. No, because we didn't do Blogosphere the first episode.
There's other words. No, there's other words.
Oh, sure. Yes, 100%. And I'm venerable, though. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, talking about covering the Green Bay Packers from every angle, did you know there's a Cheesehead TV co-founder who just launched his own YouTube channel separate from Cheesehead TV, but still Packers adjacent, let's say? Green Bay Gardner has gone live, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you like and subscribe Corey's gardening channel. I mean, it's amazing. It's incredible. There's so much content. There are live streams of butterflies every day. It's great. It's great, man. I'm so proud of you, dude. I'm in awe. It's amazing. Like, you've got so much content right out of the gate. It's so cool.
Yeah, I've been working on it since February, so there's content for days. I'm dropping every day. I've been dropping every day.
I think we have a
clip.
Yeah,
we got a clip. Let's watch it. Let's
take a look.
Yeah.
that. You're looking at some Lambeau grass right across from Lambeau Field. It's
need to
dope.
Wash that window, though. That was like that was like February, and so it was too cold to wash. Or no, March, and it was like too cold to wash the window. Right. I was like, damn it. But it is. You know what's funny is I got that Lambeau
grass. It's true
grass
to life.
It is true to life. Well, that's the thing. And I got that Lambeau grass from an employee of 1265 who gave me the rest of the Lambeau grass from the pro shop. So I've had it for like 2 years. So the fact that that seed is still viable, and I've been that's growing crazy. It, I just feel like it's just fun to kind of grow Lambeau grass and keep it going. But I would love to do my lawn, but it's way too much work.
It's a lot. That's a lot.
I'm going to do a bee lawn instead. So, yeah.
I will say your channel has like taken over my girlfriend's feed. Like she followed instantly, subscribed. That's the very much the type of stuff she likes on YouTube. And to the point where you've inspired her, we were in the kitchen the other day and she goes, you know what we should put here? We should put one of those blah, blah, blah. I don't know what the name is, but the thing where you have plants growing inside with like lights on them and the whole kind of thing.
Yeah, grow tent.
And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, wait, in our kitchen? She's like, yeah, we should put it over here by the window. So just so you know, you're now infecting my home this with your gardening.
So this channel has Packers transplants. Does that channel have just Packers plants? But own chain.
You're all week. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Speaking of Corey Behnke and content this offseason that you may have missed, if you didn't see Green Bay Gardener, make sure you subscribe to that. But also, he was a guest on the Cabin podcast a little bit ago, talking to Wisconsin sports rivalries.
That was good stuff.
I mean, that was fun.
Andrea and Megan are awesome. I love them. They're amazing. And I like that podcast. They've done a really good job of taking it.
They have a great tone. Like just their ability to kind of frame the Wisconsin experience, really.
Yeah, it's all Wisconsin too, which is what I love about it. And like they brought me on for the rivalries episode, so it was all about Wisconsin rivalries. And I was like, it was so funny because I didn't care about the Brewers. I was like, wait, I had to think about who the Brewers rivals were.
Yeah, all right. I was like,
but who do you think the Cubs are a bigger rival than the White Sox, or you think the White Sox are bigger?
Yes,
rival?
Of course they are. No, they're probably
in the same division, right?
All time, Cubs have always been up there, but of course they're the Cardinals as well. Like people hate the Cardinals, so it's one or the other.
Yeah, so that was fun, and then I couldn't even think of like who Wisconsin's rival is. I was like Minnesota, but then I was like Minnesota sucks. I was like, it doesn't feel like
they can hold the axe a few times. I don't know, man. I
just doesn't feel like Minnesota is up to the level of the Madison Badgers. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but you're not a Badgers guy, so you're probably not the best gauge for that. But I understand, like, it doesn't feel as ferocious rivalry-wise. But I think we do have a clip from that as well. Let's take a look.
What is your favorite Wisconsin sports rivalry?
Oh, Packers-Bears is the oldest rivalry.
Their first game was in 1921.
Yeah. 108-96-6. So that's how many times the Packers have beat the Bears.
Can you say something nice about Bears fans?
I love Bears fans. I wish Chicago's Bears fans the greatest offseason because they always have the best offseason. You know what I'm saying?
But that's all they have.
That's literally all they have. So you got to give them something.
I like Bears fans.
Here we go.
I like their catchphrase. They go, "Bear down." And I think that's gritty.
Yeah, also when the Vikings just do stupid stuff. Like it's
like,
the draft
Gilbert
and they
Brown go.
Yeah, let Gilbert Brown get away from them. Right? They're kind of like the baby brother, baby sisters. Yeah. Oh, you're adorable. That's the thing about like the Bears and the Vikings. They care about the Packers so much more than we care about them.
Yeah. They sign more of our players than we do.
100%. We don't even think about you.
Love it. That's a perfect point too about
it is true though that we don't like the only time we talk about the Bears or the Vikings on this show is if we are playing the Bears or the Vikings. But like you watch a Vikings podcast or a Bears podcast, there's a Packers segment for most of them.
Yep. Usually, more often than not. Speaking of the Packers and the Packers players, we saw Matt LaFleur earlier today at his press conference with a mustache. Because apparently he was Burt Reynolds at the party that the players threw, which was apparently a 70s-themed party. I saw a bunch of stuff on TikTok from this. And, of course, Ronica, Jordan's better half, put this up. And I had to feature this because they really got into the spirit of the thing. Love it. Bust down, Tatiana. Bust down, Tatiana. I wanna see you bust down. Pick it up. Now break that shit down. Break it down. Speed it up. Then slow that shit down. On it, gang. Slow it down. Bust it. Bust down. Bust it. Bust it. Bust down. And like I said, there were a bunch of those from like the players and their wives, girlfriends, etc.
Evan Williams had a good one.
Evan Williams was great. He and his girlfriend were getting down. And to that point, Evan Williams and his girlfriend were getting down to a 70s song. Jordan, Ronica, guys, you go to a 70s party. You're all 70'd up. Like,
but they probably dance to the 70s songs at the party, though.
I'm sure they did.
It's fine.
I have no doubt.
You got it.
It's totally fine. Of course, I'm not like chastising them.
Speaking as an independent TikTok creator, you gotta.
That's what I think of when I think Corey Behnke. I think independent TikToker.
You gotta do what the kids know nowadays if you want to get them views, sure. Nagler.
You gotta get them views. I guess that's it. That's probably why I have no.
She's on a professional volleyball. She's helping with that, and she's got to get those views. That she's got to get that algorithm to get them sponsors.
Ronica is like a billion percent. She's like the Wizard of Oz on TikTok and or social media.
Yeah, she's really
good on
social.
She's got it figured out.
I feel like I don't know them, but I feel like if Jordan didn't have her, he would not be good on social because I don't think he like all his social is like, my agent posted this because I had to.
Please, it's
contract.
Her. Come on now.
But it is great to see him behind. It's great to see him in those, though. You see another side of him.
I love it.
And
she
really
had a very, very smart kind of take / kind of mini monologue on her TikTok this morning regarding social media and how to utilize it and things like that. If you're not following her on TikTok, I highly recommend you do and check that kind of almost a soliloquy. She's really smart. Talk about someone who gets it. She gets it, no doubt about it. You know who else gets it? Corey Behnke. Our good friend, friend of show, friend of both of ours, Tom Grassi. How about this shit? Come on, Tom Grassi. How awesome is this? So they have this game coming up next Friday night in Brazil. It's exclusively on YouTube, right? Last year it was Peacock. This year it's YouTube. And they are offering multi-streams, like different ways you can watch. And one of the options is to watch it with Tom Grassi.
Wow.
How amazing. Like, this cool. is so dope. Dude, Chiefs, Chargers, I'll be watching the Tom Grassi stream. I know this.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Just amazing. Dude, Tom is just a legend. Absolutely love it. Congrats, Tom. That is dope
love
as hell.
That's great.
And then finally.
I just saw Tom Grassi, and also, you know what I never told him, Nagler?
What's that? What didn't you tell him?
We were supposed to do a collectible show this year.
I remember.
On Cheesehead TV, but
you
I think him
about
moving
it a lot.
And me doing this. Yeah. We got to make that happen. Anyway, I gotta text him.
Yeah, you do. You should do that. As soon as we're done here. Finally, we can't have a Packers show on this date in history without talking about this Micah Parsons brouhaha.
Mm.
Started by one Ricky, the Twitter handle, infamous, famous, call it him, them, what you will. But he's been banging this drum for a bit. Had his latest update, I believe this was yesterday. The Packers have a trade on the table with the Cowboys, which I think we're kind of parsing things here. I think it's been pretty blatantly put out there that Jerry Jones ain't listening to anything when it comes to attempts to trade for his star defensive player, who they're having a pretty major contract stare down. But hey, I tell you what, it is all the rage on the internet. And I'll say, Ricky, point blank, man, you're going to wear the crown if this happens. But if it doesn't, I feel you. And I know what it's like, because I put that thing out there a couple years ago about the Packers trying to trade for Darren Waller. And then that didn't happen. And then everyone told me I was making shit up. I was lying for clicks and blah, blah, blah. Oh, and then a year later, Adam Schefter confirmed that it actually happened. And then people would, you had that earlier. I was like, yeah, I did, didn't I? So, Ricky, I feel you, man. I know what it's like to put yourself out there like this, although you're not really putting yourself out there.
No.
Because you're not giving your name. You're an anonymous account. So you're hedging a little bit.
It's actually the opposite of putting yourself out there.
But if you get it right, you're an absolute legend. There you go.
But what if he gets it right, but the terms are all different than what he said, so he just made it up? So.
Well, no. I mean, look, if they trade for like a Parsons, Ricky wears the crown, man. That's an amazing, amazing scoop.
If we get Micah Parsons, do we win the Super Bowl or what?
Not automatically, obviously, but they become instant favorites. There's no doubt about that. 100%.
Does Micah Parsons get us like more than 2 sacks a game? Maybe sometimes, right?
It depends on the opponent. I don't know about 2 a game.
He at least gets us 1 a game, right? Well, for $45 million a year is 1 a game.
You would hope. You would hope at least affecting the quarterback each and every down that where they're dropping back, right? And I'm not talking like
they're thinking
the 3-step drop or quick outs to the wide receiver screen or some bullshit like that, right?
Which is yeah, what that's teams the thing about him is you have to think about him. It's like when you're on defense, you have to think about Jordan
everything
Love,
changes.
But not everybody on offense has to think about the defensive player.
He changes the calculus. He absolutely changes how you approach the game as an offensive coordinator. He has to, right? Like you have to, every single play in your game plan starts with, what are we doing about Parsons? Like legit. So yeah, he changes the calculus. Of that, there's little doubt. Now, what do you have to give up for him? We're talking probably multiple premium draft picks. There's been a lot of talk about multiple first-round picks, probably a young ascending player. I've seen Rashawn Gary thrown out there. I think they'd probably want Gary and probably somebody else, probably a wide receiver. So, man, it feels a little rich for my blood, but that's why you swing for the fences, you know, if you want a game-changing type
player. But do you even remember the terms of the Reggie White deal? I don't.
Well, here's the thing. People keep mentioning this, right? Like the idea of, it would be as if or like akin to getting Reggie or getting Woodson or even like, you know, Julius Peppers, which were all big time acquisitions and did change the face of the defense each and every time, right? But I will also say each one of those were acquired in free agency.
Yeah.
They weren't giving up extra assets. Yeah. It's just which is what would make it so unpacker-like. But that said, Brian was in on Khalil Mack back in 2018. It came down between them and the Bears, you know? So I think it's pretty clear that he's open to it and he would do it up to a point. He's got to have, he talked about it on Packer Transplants last year. You got to have a walkaway point where this is the value, this is where I set that value, and I will offer you what I think is fair value. But if you try and, like, you know, squeeze more out of me, I have a very hard line walk away point, which is why I think how he would approach this type of thing. And I have no idea if he has or hasn't put an offer on the table, but certainly it's what all Packer fandom is talking about. Again, I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to remain with the Cowboys. I know it feels really poisonous between those two sides right now. But that's kind of just the Cowboy way.
That's business. That's business.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's get to some YouTube comments. I know we've had a bunch coming in here as I've been talking. What's going on?
All right.
What's going on
Eek Town, thanks for the super chat. Will MLF authorize you guys to release the locker room hotline this year so we can provide much appreciated halftime advised?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. So
Definitely.
This is the idea being that we could call LaFleur and Halfley at halftime and let them know what they're doing wrong and where they should like shore things up. I'm sure Matt will get right on that.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that will cost $0. Sean M. Black, Aaron, Corey, Cheesehead TV, Packers Transplants, dreaming about a huge trade that won't happen. It's football time. All is right in the world. Go Pack, go.
I mean, I think that is a healthy attitude there. No doubt about it.
I believe
it.
That's Overshadow Sean changed.
I think so. It's like a new handle.
It's the same avatar.
What's up, Overshadow?
The Harps 86. Go Pack, go Bears suck. True story. Joe Mailman, 5164. Parsons, meh. We got Whelan and McManus.
Corey's favorite players.
Weston Burnett, 6650. Good afternoon. I have a friend from Wisconsin go out of their way to find me, carry the G beer, and now I have some in North Carolina. It's real good. I'm ready for the season. Go Pack, go. Love it.
So we like That's to amazing. Hear. Thanks for trying it. Thanks for making that happen.
Also, you can get Carry the G in Chicago at Will's Northwoods.
Yes, you can.
And on the border states.
Somewhere in Minneapolis or there around.
Near. Janice L563. Hi, been a bit since caught you live. What your thoughts are on return game? Did signing McColl to PS give us an out for first few weeks?
I think so. I mean, that's what I talked about a little bit during our kind of first part of the program there. But yeah, no doubt about it. Although that said, who knows? There's no guarantee they call him up, right? And then maybe they do call him up for the first 3 weeks and then sign him back onto the 53, because after 3 weeks, you have to. After the third call-up, you have to. Yeah, it might be a whole part of the kind of roster juggling plan. But that said, it's not like he was a world beater on returns this summer. That's what's so kind of mystifying, because he is the one guy who's done it at the NFL level, at a high level, on a consistent basis. But that certainly wasn't the case this summer in Green Bay. I mean, he was fine, but fine is like, okay, we've got Jaden Reed to be fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. We will see.
Ken Hansen, 6675. Fly, Corey, fly. Thanks for Super Chat, Ken. Appreciate
you. Ken, your fellow pilot there. Ken flies Gino up to Fick, Green Bay all the time.
Yeah, he does. Gino Fick, 5760. Transplants is so good. Football is back. Go, Pack, go. Thanks, Gino.
Thank you so much. Go, Pack,
Dustin
man.
Logan, thanks for Super Chat. The Bears still suck. Remakes complete. See y'all week one.
What's up?
Yeah, I almost. I think I sang on Cabin Pod. I think I sang the Bear Still Sucks song, but then I was trying to be like, I was trying to decide, do I like? I think that the more iconic song, and I know people are going to disagree with me a big time on this, but
oh boy, here we go. Controversy.
I do think that the Green Bay Packers song is a bigger song than the Bears Still Suck. Who won the first Super Bowl ever played?
I love the Green Bay Packers.
It's just genius song. That song,
it's a great song.
No changes.
It is a great
no
song.
Notes.
It is.
No notes.
No notes. 10-10, no notes.
10-10, no notes. Doug Fowler, what happened?
Wait. Real quick, I want to give Klaus a shout-out from across the pond. He gave us a shout-out through the Carry the G Club.
Oh,
saying,
nice.
But no Kalen King at the practice squad. Other than that, go Pack, go. Yeah, Kalen King, what a rough fucking moment, man, where he balled out this summer. He had a really good summer. And then didn't make the team, and then said, see ya. He signed with the Panthers today on their practice squad, I think.
But what's the deal with that?
Yeah, he's mostly a slot guy, and they got slot guys in front of him.
Yeah.
Slot guys who can run, and he's not a burner, you know? So I just think it's a numbers thing, and it's unfortunate because, like I said, I thought he had a really good summer. But Kalen King, Packers legend.
Doug Foudy, 5808. I'm in from Sandpoint for the Lions-Commanders games. Can't do the Saturday meetup. Are there any game day options to meet you guys? My bucket list. Doug, thanks for Super Chat. We are going to have some events because...
All the events.
We're going to have some events. Yeah, we only have the September event announced right now for the opener, but the plan is... And with your guys' support throughout the season, the plan is to bring Nagler to Green Bay more often for home games.
That is the plan. So yeah, let us know where you'll be, when you'll be, and we'll figure something out. The problem, of course, here is that Lions and Commanders games, I will be in town for the Lions game. I leave before the Commanders game. So won't be having anything pregame there. But for the Lions game for Sunday, we'll probably do some kind of like come say hello thing prior to kickoff, you know, a couple hours before kickoff, the day of the game.
Or maybe a Saturday.
Like lot one or something. You know, we'll do that, definitely.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing yet. We don't even know what we're doing tomorrow, to be honest with you. We know what we're doing on September 7th, so that's something.
Watching the Packers kick some ass, that's what we're known.
Shyamnik 6387. This might just be me, but Golden, Reed, and Watson could be the best wide receiver lineup we could potentially have. Love Roman Wicks, though, LOL.
I mean,
that's the thing.
Yes,
options.
You
weapons.
Start getting Watson back in the mix.
Let's
go, man. Exciting times. I'm trying not to get too excited by that because you never really know how a guy's going to look coming off an injury like an ACL. And I know ACLs are very different now than even 10 years ago, but, man, the potential for a Watson, Golden, and then Reed in the slot kind of trio, let's go, man. I'm in on that.
Justin 4616, thanks for Super Chat. Schneidman on McAfee today was interesting, saying that LaFleur Goody extensions aren't a lock, and that 12 told Matt on record that he doesn't like Goody. 12. Oh, Aaron.
Aaron. I mean,
Aaron doesn't like anybody. Does Aaron like anybody, bro?
Yeah, well, is that breaking
his
news?
His agent.
I mean, let's go. Remember, his wife. I don't want to re-adjudicate all this stuff, but remember when 2020 happened and, you know, Ty Dunn reported that there were these text messages, two players on the team, two of which I saw, talking about, like, being Aaron Rodgers just ripping Gutekunst apart, like, just completely calling him Jerry Krause and all this shit. It's like, none of that's new. We've been new. So that's old news.
But also, I do think it's funny. I do think it's funny 12's inability to put himself in anybody else's shoes with 12. It's just funny to me. It's just so funny. Like, it's just funny. And also, if you really look at the Jerry Krause things, like, that's a whole different world of it's
of
just so totally different stuff happened in that situation.
Yeah. But then to the point of I saw what Schneidman had to say regarding Ed Policy and how, you know, he did meet with a local beat and they talked about the contracts for LaFleur and Gutekunst. And we've talked about this a couple of times over the offseason. I don't think that's out of bounds. I don't think that's crazy. Of course, Ed Policy is going to take a wait and see approach through this season. Guys have 2 years left on their deal. It's no different than like when you're evaluating a player, right? But he also did say, as Matt pointed out, he doesn't like lame ducks. He does not want them going into the final year of their deal without some kind of an extension if he deems that they're worthy, that they're headed in the right direction. So, yeah, and this, again, kind of echoes what we've talked about all offseason. It's a pretty significant year in Green Bay for both Goody and LaFleur. And you can talk about extra pressure. I mean, they'll tell you there's pressure every year in the league. You're always under pressure to win. But yes, is there certainly the kind of hanging specter of Ed Policy judging things? Yeah, I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's expected. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they're playing down the stretch. Because, you know, you can talk about, well, they win 10, 11, 12 games. Great. But how are they progressing throughout the season? How are they playing down the stretch? Because I tell you what, if it was last year, we'd be having some conversations, you know, the way they really hollowed out there at the end of the year, as opposed to 2023, where they were ascending, they were playing their best ball. That's what you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a major determining factor.
I really don't think I don't think you manufacture that, though. I really don't. I don't think you can manufacture.
No, 100%. It's just it's part of the kind of
pray that nobody gets injured.
Right. You hope that. But also some of it is how you mitigate those things and how you handle those things. Like, that's all part of the gig, right? And then Ed will have to look and determine, yep, these are the guys I want to attach myself to long term. Because that's the point here.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't make those hires. Those are Mark's hires. He was in, you know, the room and helped with the hiring of LaFleur. Like, no doubt about it. And he is,
but that's different.
You know,
very different. You're not making
because it wasn't his call. Yeah. So yeah, nothing about that was controversial to me. I thought Matt was spot on regarding that point.
He Soder, Vikings are the crazy Karen that lives next door. I would agree with that. Also,
you're not wrong.
Now that McCormick Place has figured out the bird situation, the Vikings need to follow suit. So
there you go. Look at that.
Like,
Can I get a real quick shout out to RCS, who is a Patreon member, but also a Carry the G Club member, who is asking, Corey, why are hands naked? Love the Garden Channel. Thanks for your great work, gentlemen. Thank you, RCS.
Well, RCS, I've had them. I've had gloves on, and I have not gloves on, but I also have gloves right here. But I always start the show with gloves to remind people, and then it's hard to go between the camera and this. But I have my gloves. I wear my gloves. I have my gloves for the show. It was funny. I brought my gloves to Cabin Pod, but I didn't wear them because I was just like, you know what? It's such an inside joke that it's just like funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got them. I got them for you. It's just, you know, when I'm drinking a beer and I'm just chilling, it's just nice to not. It's fun. But I got them for you. I'm here for you.
Do they still smell? Is it still a problem?
No, these are so stuff. What's funny is, so no,
is
I have my old gloves.
Right.
So I have gloves V1. And I have gloves. Actually, I have gloves V1. V1. They're all the same glove. Well, they're all the same version of
style,
the same
right,
glove.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're from, I think, 2007 wide receiver gloves, I think. Maybe, I don't know, right. I can't remember. I have to look. Right. But anyway, I do have one more pair of new ones. So this is my third pair. So no, these don't smell new, but they smell close to new. But I do have a new pair, Nagler. I have a new
brand new,
never been opened. Wow. I mean, it's not new, but it's like never been opened. Like it still has the thing on it. Like
it's
as if
new
you
to you.
It. It's new to no. Nobody wore them. Is what my point
right.
is. They're
I got it.
Pristine. Gotcha. Brandy, awesome. I wish the Packers would do 70s throwbacks so we can finally win in those uniforms. But I don't.
Damn. I mean, Brandy, so you truth. Ain't wrong. I like it. I mean, I can't wait till we wear our throwback uniforms against our arch classic deep-seated rival, Carolina Panthers. I love that they have the 23 uniform, classic 23 uniform, when the Panthers come to town. Like, I get you the homecoming aspect. Like, you think it's a game that you probably should win. So you want to, like, wear the jerseys in a game that you expect or hope you're going to win. But, man, how do you not wear those against the Bears? Come on. What are we doing here? Who made this decision? That's a terrible decision.
Well, it's always that should have been the marketers.
That should have been the home game against the Bears is what that should have been.
Well, one day when you're the marketing director of the Green Bay Packers and the NFL,
God help us all.
You can
well, first of all,
make it happen.
You have to we got steps here. We got levels. Like first, you have to become a board member. That's step one.
I don't
and
think
then we'll
wants
start
that,
making inroads.
That's the problem. Nobody wants that.
Oh, they don't even know they want it, but they want it. That's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's what we got.
All right.
Thanks
everybody
for joining
us.
Thanks for the super chats. Appreciate it.
Our Patreon members, thank you so much, everybody who joins us each and every week on Happy Hour, who supports us on and via Patreon. Really cannot thank you enough for the support. You guys are the lifeblood of everything we do with the brand, with Cheesehead TV. And also, of course, the Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. Thank you so much. I mean, we're so close to the first watch party of the season. You guys always bring it. Cannot thank you enough. Corey, you got anything else before we head out for the evening?
Go Pack Go. Harvest those vegetables.
There you go. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation. And we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time. And just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.